A reading from the Epistle. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I want to thank Ryan for inviting me, and I want to thank you for welcoming me. I came to Broadway in 1995. It's a long time ago. It was my first ministry position in a church, and I wasn't young, but I had been in church all my life, and you grew me up, and I thank you for that. I preached my first sermon in this pulpit, and my first funeral, and I did the first wedding right there, and so it has been a wonderful place of learning and growth for me and for my family. I thank Terry, who my spouse, who willingly said okay when I mentioned coming here, and it has been a wonderful place for us and for our family. I also want to say that there were many hard times here, many times when we as a church went through worked through difficult issues, and there was a lot of pain. But there was also a lot of listening and caring and helpful kindness that happened in this room and in this church. And so I want to say thank you for all of that. It's wonderful to have this opportunity to be here on this Pentecost Sunday. I will just tell you, having gone up in the, what do you call that? It's not the bowels, it's the... Anyway, of the church, you can walk up there. There's a little walkway. And it's quite interesting. And one of the times when they redid the church because of the cracks, we had scaffolding in here. And so the staff, it was after hours, but the staff came and we walked up the scaffolding to the very tip top of the sanctuary. It's wonderful view, I will just say. But don't try it at home. So many of us in this room are news junkies. We read the news on our phone, we listen to it when we're in our cars, and we watch it on television incessantly. Whenever anything different or significant happens, the first thing the reporters do is bring in an eyewitness. An eyewitness to tell us what happened from their perspective. I have thought many times when reading biblical accounts of an event that it would be helpful to have a current eyewitness. So what if one could be here and tell us about Pentecost? It so happens I found one. Penuel here. I am the wife of the Apostle Peter. It is my honor and privilege to be here to tell you what I saw and experienced that day in Jerusalem. Now, some of you are probably thinking to yourselves, well, Peter didn't have a wife. My name is never mentioned in the Bible, but if you think back and you read Matthew 8:14, you will remember the story about Jesus healing my mother, Peter's mother-in-law. It's difficult to have a mother-in-law if you don't have a wife. My guess is that the first question some of you would like to ask me is, what did I think or feel when Peter left so suddenly to go follow Jesus? He was just a fisherman, going out every day to catch fish, enough fish to make a living. And I can tell you that Peter had always been impetuous, and he often made decisions that were, well, you just fill in the blank. He was an entrepreneur of sorts, always drawn to new and creative ideas. Interesting for a fisherman, right? When the children came running home to say that their father had left his nets and his boat to go follow a man, I must admit that my first thought was, here we go again. But the children described the man. And then my neighbors and relatives began telling me what they had heard about this man. And I thought that maybe, just maybe, Peter had finally met someone who could help him feel settled and at home in his own skin. I think that's how you say it today. He left for a 3-year sabbatical leave with Jesus. Imagine that. I would see him and hear from him from time to time. Our older children took up the fishing business, so the family was taken care of. You all know the stories about Peter. So wonderful and so disappointing at the same time. That was my Peter. He was devastated when Jesus died. All the disciples were. They were afraid. They were sad. They were lost and full of gratitude at the same time. Jesus kept telling them that when he left, he would leave someone, something, and they didn't know what he meant. But he said he would not leave them alone, and they believed him. They kept waiting, and the interesting thing was as they waited and they prayed together, studied together, they were also teaching and preaching, and I could see that Peter was changing. He and all the disciples were becoming more confident. You see, they knew that they had a story to tell, and Jesus had left them the responsibility to do just that. They kept telling the story of love and grace that Jesus taught them. That Pentecost morning, the one that's in the scriptures for today, was like any other at church. Well, we didn't really call it that then. The followers of Jesus met together in Jerusalem. The city was crowded because it was a Jewish festival, Shavuot. So people came to Jerusalem from all over the empire. I even had trouble getting to the market to buy food. I had to weave my way through the crowd. Now, if you've been to Jerusalem, you know the streets in the old city are narrow, and they're difficult to maneuver even when there are no crowds. This festival was celebrated 50 days after Passover. So there were probably 120 believers gathered, along with the disciples. Some of the visitors to Jerusalem were listening through the windows or at the doors. Of course, most of them couldn't understand what was being said. Peter is preaching, and if I do say so myself, he had become quite a preacher. He preached with conviction and a heart full of kindness and love. In the middle of the sermon, I mean right in the middle of the sermon, something began to happen. At first I thought, well, it's an earthquake. Or maybe one of those, what is it you have here, tornadoes? The wind began to blow. It was swirling around us, almost knocking us off of our benches. And I could tell Peter didn't know what was happening either. And then we realized the strangest thing. All the immigrants started understanding exactly what Peter was saying. Every person could understand as if Peter was speaking in their native language. It was frightening, thrilling, and awe-inspiring. That very day, about 3,000 people came to know of the love and grace of Jesus. They believed the story that Peter was telling them about this humble and strong man from Galilee who had come to tell us God's love story of grace. Now, you might know just what I mean when I say it was a holy tornado. Once we got over our initial fear, we could see that the wind was a laughing, joyful presence which swirled through the crowd. And Peter understood what was happening. It was an aha moment for him. This wind, this spirit was from God, and it was coming to help Peter, to help the disciples, to help all of us to clearly understand what God wanted us to be doing, to understand what it would mean to be what you call the church. God was blowing through all those gathered, calling us into community. We could all understand each other. These strangers and some maybe enemies were being united in a community where there were no strangers. Because of the love of God, everyone was welcome, and we were offered a life of wholeness in Jesus. I can tell you as one who was there that the Spirit is creative, nurturing, and determined. I could tell that this was a personal message for each of us, but it was also a message to us as the community. I knew that day that if I followed her, this spirit would lead and pull and push me in ways I would never have gone on my own. But I was no longer afraid. I could tell that Peter was finally living into who Jesus had called him to be on that day by the shore of Galilee. This spirit was life-giving, liberating, nurturing, and I knew that it would sustain us through any trials or tribulations. As we all continued to tell the story of Jesus, the Son of God, the Spirit would be with us. And that day, we began to pray, "Come, Spirit, come." It was as if the story of Jesus was now complete. We knew, Peter knew, that we were no longer alone. We were not orphans left behind, orphans who really did not know what they were supposed to be doing or how to do it. Now, I know that some understand this spirit that came that day to be a still, small voice that whispers and quietly moves us deep in our inner being. But I'm going to tell you, what I experienced that day in Jerusalem was a wild, loud manifestation of the Spirit. This Spirit was showing us that everyone is welcome, that God wants us to be inclusive, generous, and loving, leading the way in showing the world how we are to live as the children of God. Let me say that again. We understood that day that we are to be inclusive of all God's children. We are to be generous, loving, and kind. Oh, we were a motley crew that morning. We were different in so many ways, but this Spirit wasn't deterred by that. You see, this Spirit connected us together. At first, we were strangers, as I said, but when the Spirit blew through that morning, we were united in a community of love. And I saw that day that God's love was for me and for all those people gathered there who looked nothing like me. It was something we had never experienced before. And if I hadn't been there, I don't know if I would believe it myself. But I was there. I did see it. And I was changed because of it. She helped me learn to speak up, to forgive, and to take risk. Now, I'm glad to know that your church is trying to follow Jesus by loving your neighbor, caring for those who are suffering, those who are alienated and sick. And yet, you can't sit back and think that you have it under control. That day, the Spirit came to me personally. And after that day, I knew that I had to continue to work on my own life, to be sure that I was loving my enemies. I don't know about you, but that's the most difficult one for me. And I also had to be sure that I was caring for those right in my midst who were in pain. I had to learn to be a better listener. The day the Spirit blew in, we understood the message of Jesus so much clearer. And once again, Jesus came to say that God loves us all, every one of us. And as you say in Texas, all means all, y'all. Our prayer that day became, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." This is Penuel signing off. Now, there's not much that we can add to the story of an eyewitness, but I hope that today this will be our prayer. May the Spirit of the Lord be poured out upon us. May our young men see visions of the Lord, and may our young women preach grace. May God give us purity of heart, courage of convictions, deep faith, true hope, and real love. May God's holy fire burn deep within us. The world is waiting, so hold on. She is a strong and mighty wind. She blows where she will. Are you ready? Amen.